We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and the
It is an interesting story in the Old Testament. It has some explanatory value for a Jewish festival called Purim. But it also points toward Christ, the story of Queen Esther. It reads a little bit like a suspense novel. It's, the intrigue of the royal palace, and it has everything. It has betrayal. It has a man thwarting a plot against the king. It has a beautiful queen, and it has the bad guy getting his comeuppance in the end. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on Queen Esther. Tom is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
First of all, how did Esther become King Xerxes' queen?
Well, he actually had another queen ahead of time, and her name was Vashti. And well, what was happening was that he wanted to show her beauty in front of his friends that was at a big party they were having. And of course, that would just make him feel good, make them jealous, etc. And Queen Vashti did not want to be put into such a situation, so she refused to obey the king's orders to come and be seen by all of his friends. It says then in chapter 1, verse 12, the king became enraged and his anger burned within him. And so he decided that what should be done to Queen Vashti because she would not obey him. He ended up basically divorcing him, and they had to choose another queen. And what happened? Esther, who was Jewish, ended up being in the group of those that were being chosen. They were all virgins, and Esther became the most prominent one. She was really liked by all of the king's friends, and the king liked her, so he ended up going ahead and making her the queen. So she became King Xerxes' queen after the former queen refused to obey him.
So why did Esther keep secret the fact that she was a Jew?
Well, being a Jew was not good even in those days. They were often persecuted, etc. And so it was something that people kind of kept quiet about. And she didn't want to give the impression that she would be looked down upon because she was Jewish. And so just did not say that she was Jewish, although there was an individual who had raised her because her parents had died, and his name was Mordecai, and he, of course, was Jewish also. And so it didn't take long before people discovered that if he was Jewish, then she also was Jewish. But at the beginning, she had not made it known that she was Jewish.
Who was Haman, and why did he hate Mordecai, Esther's uncle?
Well, Haman was very close to the king. And what happened is that the king thought a lot about him, and so he made him top official in the land, Haman the Agagite. He advanced him, set him on the throne above all the other officials who were with him. And therefore, when he would go to the king's gate, all the king's servants who were at the gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman, for the king had so commanded that they should do that concerning him. But Mordecai did not bow down to him or pay homage, because his king, of course, was none other than Yahweh, the God of the Israelites. And so what happened, the king's servants, they asked Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" And they asked him day after day. And finally, they told Haman, in order to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for he had told them that he was also a Jew. And then when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow down or paid homage to him, Haman was filled with fury. And he tried to lay hands on Mordecai, but he knew that he had to be careful there because Mordecai was well known. And so what he did, and I'm talking now about Haman, they cast lots, whether those were dice or some other form. There's different ways in which lots were cast in those days, rolling colored or numbered pebbles or clay cubes. Today we would roll dice. And he cast it month after month until the month of Adar. And they would cast lots to see if they could figure out the future. And what Haman said was the future is that, boy, these Jews, they're a different people among us, and their laws are different from those from every other people. They do not keep the king's laws, so it's really not to the king's profit to tolerate them. And so Haman went to the king, said, "Let it be decreed that they be destroyed." And he even had money that the king would receive if they were destroyed. So what the king did, because he was kind of unaware that Esther was Jewish, he took his signet ring from his hand. Now, what's a signet ring? You'll hear about this every now and then. A document is signed, and then the impression of the ring is put on the document, and that means this is from the king. And he gave that to Haman the Agagite, and he had as his enemy the Jews. And therefore, he made a vow that the Jews would all be put to death in the month of Adar, and that their goods could be plundered. And that would be on the 13th day of that month. And in fact, a copy of the document was then issued as a decree in every province by proclamation to all the peoples to be ready for that day. And therefore, many people were ready on that day to put to death the Jews. And you can only imagine the kind of fear that had engulfed the Jewish people, knowing that even from the king's decree, this was going to be happening. And so it was not something that they were looking forward to. And it'd be a good opportunity at this time for the Sunday school teacher to indicate that that's really happening in the Christian world throughout this planet, where Christians are being attacked and our teachings, especially in the area of the law, and that therefore we ought not be surprised that we also are going to be persecuted. But the story of Esther, a true story, has a lot to say to the Sunday school teachers and students.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show Law and Gospel. We're talking about Queen Esther and teaching a Sunday school lesson. On the other side, what did Mordecai do upon learning of Haman's plot against the Jews?
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
This is a message for pastors and lay leaders of Missouri Synod congregations. As we're now rounding a corner on a year of COVID lockdown and measures, how has that affected your attendance and giving? In 25% of our churches, giving has actually gone up. Surprised? Why are some churches struggling while others are thriving? Here at LCMS Stewardship and the whole Office of National Mission Team, we have answers and we have help for you and your church today. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15. Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical. Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan. epiphanydoor.org. 616-681-0791.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, President of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel is leading us in a Sunday school lesson on Queen Esther. I'm Todd Wilkin. Your link to Issues Etc. I believe in one holy Christian church, a brief history of the church, working through conflict in the congregation. These are some of the topics covered in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. You can receive a digital or print annual subscription for less than $20. For more information, visit lcms.org/witness or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, Interpreting the World from a Lutheran Perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Tom, what did Mordecai do upon hearing of Haman's plot against the Jews?
When Mordecai heard about that, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes. And into the midst of the city, he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. And he went up to the entrance of the king's gate, but he couldn't go any further because no one is allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And what happened? Esther's women that were attending her and her servants came and told her what Mordecai had done, and she was really deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai, but he would not accept them. So then she called one of her servants to go talk to Mordecai, and he went and talked to him, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him, and even the exact amount of money that Haman, the enemy of the Jews, had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. So, what you have here is Esther wondering what she should be doing. And Mordecai had told her that she should go and plead for the life of the Jews. But the problem was that you can't just go into the king's presence. In fact, Esther told him she hadn't been in his presence for 30 days. And if you don't have permission, well, either two things are going to happen. You're going to be put to death, or he will hold out his scepter, which is a symbol of his royal authority. And by holding that out, he would be telling her he was not a threat and that he was willing to listen to her. So Mordecai really convinced her. In fact, one of the most important verses in the book of Esther is found in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This is something the Sunday school teacher really needs to discuss with the students. And in fact, the Sunday school material put out by Concordia Publishing House, Enduring Truth, has an exercise where the children are to think of people that God had put in place for such a time as this. Maybe they had invented something that helped or done something in the area of medicine or in war or as a politician, and it was very, very good what God had done. Remember, he set up Moses in this situation in order that the people could be saved from Egypt. Esther is no Moses. There's not going to be violence or 10 plagues, but there's going to be this woman that God has allowed to come at this time. So Esther prepares a banquet for the king, but he also invites the enemy, Haman. And so Haman is really pleased with this. And Esther goes in to see the king. And guess what? He extends to her his scepter. And she approaches it and touches the tip of the scepter. And that means that she's telling the king she respected him and was grateful to him in order to speak a word with him. And so in planning this banquet, she was able to eventually approach the king and request that he save her and her people from Haman's murderous intentions. And so that was on the advice of Mordecai, and that's what Esther went ahead and did.
Is it significant that when Mordecai hears about this plot against the Jews, and we'll come back to Esther's response, that his immediate response is repentance? That's what sackcloth and fasting means.
Yes, repentance over the fact that, of course, these folks were kind of as slaves in this country. And we remember that it occurred in Egypt, the Babylonian captivity. And the response to that is repentance, because God was allowing bad consequences to happen to his people because they had not followed through on his will and his command and were not even worshiping properly at this time. And so a good point to make that, as Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark, he has come to preach repentance and also to preach the gospel, which is the gift of the forgiveness of sins.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the story of Queen Esther. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel, and for almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. We'll get into the story of the feast after this.
For For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Did you know that Lutherans are helping new American immigrants get settled? How about struggling church workers in need of support and refreshment? And we assist at-risk children and provide disaster response to hurricane victims. Through LCMS recognized service organizations, we are doing all this and more. I'm Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and I don't want you to miss out on hearing what your brothers and sisters in Christ are up to. Visit interesttime.org to see how your support gives life to these works of mercy and love.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through the 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org. That's flsplano.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday, the 1st of June, we are teaching a Sunday school lesson on Queen Esther with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. You talked about the plan for this feast that Esther has requested. What happened at the feast itself?
Well, Esther was very wise, probably following the advice of Mordecai. In other words, Haman had planned to hang Mordecai. In fact, he had built a gallows, and he was looking forward to that. But what happened at the feast, the king could not sleep, and he brought orders to bring the book of memorable deeds, the chronicles, that things that happened during his kingship. And he found written how Mordecai had told about two men who were out to kill the king. And therefore, he had warned the king about this through Esther. And so the king says, wow, Mordecai, what honor or distinction has been bestowed on him? And the young men who were attending the king said, nothing has been done for him. And then the king said, by the way, who's in the court right now? And Haman, of course, the enemy of the Jews, had just entered. And so he was brought in to talk to the king. And he did so. And the king asked him, what should be done to the man whom the king delights to honor? And really interesting, verse 6 says, Haman said to himself, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? And so, thinking the king was talking about Haman, Haman said to the king, oh, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let royal robes be brought, which the king has worn, and the horse that the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown is set. And he had a number of other things. Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then in verse 10, the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robes and the horse, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate, and leave out nothing that you have mentioned. So Haman had to take the robes and the horse, dress Mordecai, and then led him through the square of the city, proclaiming before him "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor." Well, when that was done, Haman returned to his own house, mourning with his head covered. And he told his wife everything that had happened. And he was told, "If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of the Jewish people, you will not overcome him, but will surely fall before him." So, while the wife and the husband are talking, the king's servants arrive, and they hurry to bring Haman to the feast that Esther had prepared. And it's at this time the king says to Esther, "You had wished something, Queen Esther. It shall be granted you. What is your request?" Well, you can guess what she asked. She says, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be granted to me for my wish, and my people for my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have been silent. For our affliction is not to be compared with a loss to the king." Well, when the king heard what Queen Esther had to say, "Who is he, and where is he who has dared to do this, namely kill the Jews?" And Esther said, "A foe and enemy, this wicked Haman." Now the next verse, verse 6, chapter 7, Haman is terrified because he sees the king get really wrathful from the wine drinking, and he stays to beg for his life from Queen Esther. But it's too late, because the word of the king is that now Haman is going to be put on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And the king said, "Hang him on that." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai, and then the wrath of the king abated. Now, there are a number of great celebrations in Jewish faith, and one of them is called Purim, P-U-R-I-M. It's actually a word describing the dice that Haman had been using to indicate that in the future the Jews should be all murdered. They call it the Feast of Purim. It's a very, very happy feast. It only lasts one day in the same month that Esther saved her people from the problem. And that's why we need to tell the Sunday school children that his name wasn't Esther, but his name was Jesus, who also came. And he did lose his life. Esther did not, but he did lose his life upon the gallows, upon the cross. And yet he did that in order to save our lives. And so the story of Esther is really a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And it's one of about 10 festivals that the Jews celebrate called Purim, P-U-R-I-M, from the word for dice, and really shows the wisdom of Mordecai, who also, by the way, at that point, was made a real leader by the king, because the king had realized that Mordecai had saved his life and that he did not want to put the Jews to death as Haman had wanted. So it's a great story about looking forward to the importance of Jesus Christ.
How does this story then foreshadow Jesus in a specific way?
In a specific way, Jesus also was not one that was that much appreciated by the people of his day. Just as Haman and his followers wanted to put Esther to death and all the Jews, so also Christians came under great persecution, and believers. Remember the man born blind? He was healed by Jesus, but then he was removed from the synagogue because he looked to Jesus as his Savior. So this is very similar to what had been happening with Esther and the fellow Jews in her day. But once more, God made a plan. And more than anybody, I mean, Esther, there's no doubt Mordecai was probably correct. But this can be said about Jesus. Who knows whether he had not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? He himself knew it. And that's why the Father said more than once, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And he's well pleased over him because in Christ, the sins of the entire world were forgiven. And all who believe that message are saved eternally.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
You can find out more information about Law and Gospel. Go to issuesetc.org, click Talk on Demand Archives. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss preaching with Dr. John Bombaro, and we'll continue our series with Dr. Ken Sherb, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
St. Paul Lutheran School of Hamel, Illinois is the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're looking for a first and second grade teacher for the 2021-2022 school year. We pay 100% salary scale for the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Other benefits include full health care coverage, retirement and disability, and continuing education assistance. For more information, email jeff@issuesetc.org. Jeff@issuesetc.org.